qualifier. Friday, I began my celebration, my birthday, so I went to Catfish Country. Some of you probably saw the posting. You know, I had catfish and fried green tomatoes and alligator. And I want to apologize as I snap at you today because you know the reason why. You know, a school teacher, and I think this, you remember about 2 years ago I had some guests here from my hometown, and one of them was a school teacher in the church there, and she told me this story, and I'm going to share it with you. She once chaperoned a school outing to Knoxville, Tennessee, when something truly eye-opening occurred. The bus crossed a bridge at Norris Lake, part of the Tennessee Valley Authority system, which provides electricity to rural residents. Several students suddenly shouted, "It's the ocean! It's the ocean!" Now, this is something you might find difficult to believe. That was the first time those students had traveled beyond the mountain holler where they were born. This is the 21st century. And we jet setters think, oh my goodness, we've all traveled there. But there are still people who have not ventured very far from their birthplace. Some have not even gone 40 miles. And it's difficult to imagine, but there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know if you've ever read this local newspaper. It covers Fort Meade and Wauchula and Zolfo Springs. It's a weekly newspaper. I bought one today. It's the Herald Advocate serving peace. It's serving the Peace River Valley. It's got some interesting little stories and things in there. If you ever get a copy of it, I encourage you to read it because I find it to be humorous and interesting at the same time. But there's a column from this person. She's 80 years old. Her name is Jonelle Peavy, and her column is called Peavy's Ponderings. Peavy's Ponderings. And I would call her the Hardy County version of Will Rogers and Louis Grizzard combined. Jonelle wrote that she'd only been to three states in her life. Now, this is just was in the newspaper a few weeks ago, so this is pretty fresh news from the tabloid. She was born in Georgia. She moved down to Wauchula as a girl. And then about 18 years ago, she visited some relatives in Alabama. So that's the extent of her traveling. Well, she has a granddaughter in Austin, Texas. Her granddaughter has an automobile, and she's going to give it to her mother. Well, her mother told Jonelle, that's her mother, said, Mom, I'm going to have to fly out there alone. Would you go with me? Well, Jonelle said in the article, I've never flown a day in my life. So she should have already flown and come back. But here's the funny thing. She was flying out, but she was going to ride back with her daughter in that automobile. And Jonelle wrote, says, I don't know if I dread the flight or the trip back. The worst there. So there are still people even in our area where they don't do much traveling. And that's not considered too odd or strange. I mean, to some people it is, but it was an interesting. Well, today we're talking about a story that took place in our Lord's hometown of Nazareth. Now remember, Nazareth was in Galilee, up in the northern part of the state of Palestine. And Nazareth was not a real big community. Jerusalem, of course, in the south was it. So the Jerusalem people in Judea kind of looked upon the northern Galilee, the Galileans, as sort of rubes or country folk or hicks. So that's what you can talk about in Galilee if you ever hear it mentioned again. But, you know, Christ did something that Jonelle didn't do. He left Nazareth. And so he took up, when he started his ministry, after 30 years in Nazareth, he began traveling throughout the country, and sometimes even outside into Samaria and several places. Probably covered a lot more ground, though we do know, according to the Bible, that he did go down into Egypt when he was an infant. But other than that, that's the extent, and until he became an adult, his travels were limited to probably Galilee. So it was his residence, as I said, and, you know, he went back. And, boy, it was a big, spontaneous, enthusiastic parade. People were excited if they had pennants and balloons back then and flags. I'm sure they would have had them out in the street waving them at him. And that's what the citizens of his hometown were doing until they turned against him. Christ spoke with the authority of God in that synagogue, and that wasn't well received by the home folks. Now, when I returned in 2002, I left Miami and moved back home to Kentucky. My dad was alone after my mother died, and I served the Presbyterian Church in my hometown. Don't think that this passage didn't come to my mind frequently about going back to my hometown of Nazareth, because it's not Nazareth, it's Middlesboro. But just think about that, going back to your hometown. You had a lot of ghost of Christmas past, and I'm certainly glad that I wasn't a juvenile delinquent growing up there or anything. At least I think I left with a fairly good reputation when I went away to college. But still yet, going back to your hometown, some people thought I was crazy doing that. But you know, performing ministry there, believe not, in that town was an enjoyable experience and without regret. And so I actually got involved in so many things. I was involved in something like church service center. I served 3 terms as president. I served 8 years as chair of the board of the Salvation Army for Southeastern Kentucky, Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee. I mean, I literally met myself coming around the corner, you know. I think by the time I left there, I was about exhausted because I really did a lot in my community and people knew me, but I also wanted to help out the community as much as possible. So I had a pretty good time there. We had a strong ministerial association, so we did a lot. We did a lot. And so I would have never imagined it, but something I noticed where I had lived in various places and I'd come back, I noticed that, yes, my worldview and mind had expanded some beyond the perimeters of my hometown. And I also thought that maybe all those people had me stuck in the 1970s. They'd never upgraded me to the 21st century. Because they would remind me every now and then of things. And in fact, I was with a group one time driving, and I forgot where the street was. And one of them shouted, "You better learn these streets again." I said, "Well, don't worry. You can. I was polite, but I said, "Don't worry. I'll learn them." But they didn't. They were not aware that you built your way from your hometown for a long time. You do suffer from a little memory lapse. It happens to all of us. Leave Bartow for 5 years and come back, and you might see a few things change. In fact, I had a woman who was at she brought her mother to church. Her mother was 101 years old, and this woman hadn't been in a long time. She'd married a man in the Catholic Church, so she'd go with him even though she was still a member, and she hadn't been in years. And you know what she said to me after church? "Boy, you all have changed this worship a lot since I was here." And I'm not giving you a guilt trip, but if you had attended here regularly, you would have never noticed the change. But if you were to go back into time, we were in a time machine, and we went back to 1965, I'm sure you would notice a change in the worship even here at McLeod. But it happened so gradually and so slowly, nobody paid any attention to it. But you just think about that. Change will come, but sometimes those who are left behind, they don't realize that. And see, what I had done, I'd left my hometown. And I had classmates who had remained. They were too scared to leave, and they remained. And they had no idea sometimes what I was even talking about. So I'm not saying they were slow in thinking by no means, but they just had no experience in dealing with that. But, you know, I'll tell you this, I did get a little frustrated, but we finally got on the same page and adapted our thoughts in a positive way. I said, you know, I'm going to quit thinking of myself as a big shot. And you know what? When I did that, we started enjoying each other. You know, humility does go a long way. It really does. So let's get back to Christ in Nazareth. His former neighbors were not as conciliatory as my friends in my hometown. They were pretty upset with him, but they were not exactly enthralled when he said he was the Son of God and he sent from heaven to redeem people from their wicked, wicked ways. I took that title from an old Errol Flynn biography, by the way. But anyway, their wicked, wicked ways. And they're talking, This can't be him. This, who does he think he is? And that's probably was, and you know, like our own families who do know our flaws, encouragement may not always be the case. Even if we are a goody-two-shoes and though Christ was without blemish, someone will always seek to put you in your place. I don't care where you're coming from, where you're going, there's always somebody to peck you on the shoulder and say, oh, by the way. And that can happen to all of us. It really can. A friend of mine recently was asked by a pulpit committee if the minister was entitled to make mistakes. That's sort of an odd question to ask, isn't it? But I think it's a fair question, too. Well, the pulpit committee, of course, smilingly agreed unanimously that he had the freedom to make mistakes. Guess what? Less than a week later, after his installation, he was reprimanded by the same group for not praying after his sermon at church. Was there something wrong with the communications there? I think so. Somebody was not listening. You know, when you make mistakes, don't you regret it and seek forgiveness, whether it's with somebody you know or even with God? Forgiveness is something that a lot of people will not do. And I think that's interesting because forgiveness can dissolve a lot of things. Don't forget that. You know, but if you regret it and seek forgiveness, do you grant the same privilege to others when they make mistakes? See, when the shoe's on the other foot, we want mercy and compassion, but when we see it happen to somebody else, are we that congenial with them? A lot of times we're not. We're not that understanding, and we get almost morally indignant about it. Whether a person is a Pharisee, an elder, a preacher, even the President of the United States, nobody is perfect. No, as children, we may have colored a dog purple or a banana orange, but to others it was a boo-boo, but for us it was our choice which made it beautiful. Similar to the Sunday school teacher who told her children's class that Jesus wouldn't love them any longer if they crayoned outside the lines. Well, she's wrong. The Lord will continue to love us even if the lines are colored on the next page. See, we limit the Lord in so many ways. See, our love is limited in many ways. God's love is not. God may love somebody you don't love. And so we must remember that. We must remember that. And when we do have our toes stepped on, no, don't step on their toes in return. But remember, those people there, they have issues and problems we probably don't know about. And, you know, a lot of times they probably need our prayers. You know, probably don't even need our words, just our prayers to help them out and all that. So, you know, as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz said that there's no place like home, you know, we may also have a yearning to return home also. Am I saying a physical? I'm not necessary. But you can go back in your mind even if you don't have ruby slippers. You know, until college, the idea of moving away from home never occurred to me. I was so homesick when I entered the University of Kentucky as a freshman. In fact, I remember when Mom and Dad and my sister took me to the dormitory and they left. I bet I retraced those steps 3 or 4 times. Oh my goodness, if I could have walked back, I would have. But, you know, I was determined. My pride was in the last. I'm not going to be known as a college dropout. But, oh, the homesickness. And when young people have told me about their dreading to go away like that, fortunately, I'm empathetic to them, and I understand where they're coming from. I don't do it as a matter of bragging. I just do it because I know what they're going through and everything. Now, my sister, on the other hand, she attended slumber parties. She had gone to church camps. She did everything, but guess what? I stayed home. I didn't want to leave, not at all. But when I got to college, you could have labeled me the patron saint of homesickness. That was me, in essence. But, you know, I would have been contented to have remained at home. But, you know, God does have a playful sense of humor because, you know what? God eventually shipped me to South America and to Brazil as a missionary and to several localities throughout the United States. In fact, when I left seminary, I went to Miami, Florida. Now, you talk about culture shock. I endured more culture shock in Miami than I did in Brazil. I mean, there's 160 ethnic groups. Nobody says you all in Miami. And so here I was down there, and Hurricane Andrew hit 2 weeks later. I was ready for a U-Haul van to pick me up and send me back wherever I could go. But you know, in all that, and I'm going to share this with you, and it sounds sweet and so saccharine, forgive me, but God was with me through all that. God helped me through my stupidity and my ignorance and my fear. And sometimes we don't recognize that. We just go right along. But on the whole, God watches over us. God truly watches over us. We don't know if Christ ever returned to Nazareth after his visit, but at least he had his childhood memories. The chief factor which the people of Nazareth missed out on were untold blessings due to their lack of faith. Someone once wrote that you cannot go home again. I disagree with that analogy. I believe people may return home, go home, but do allow for some imperfections and flexibility. Some things aren't going to be the same as they were. But you know what? You can adjust as well. Reality-wise, home is wherever we are comfortable and the heart, mind, and soul is at peace. People ask me several times, people all over the... Are you happy in Bartow? Do you like it? I said, well, if I wasn't happy, didn't like it, I'd have been gone from here 2 years ago. Now, you know what? If I didn't like it, I would learn to like it, but I liked it from the beginning. So, you know, it's an amazing thing. Some people can never adjust to living somewhere else. But you know what? Wherever I hang my hat, hey, that's where my home is. Oh, of course, I revere my hometown, but I don't want to live there right now. That's not where God has called me to go. So sometimes, even if, I'll use a relevant and reality situation, in moving, you know, sometimes you may think, oh, am I moving for the right reason, or will I be comfortable? And, you know, I've made up my mind. I said, I'm going to be comfortable in where I am. Because, you know, the thing is, if you think misery, you're going to have misery. And so that's what happens with some people. You know, the old saying, the old joke about the preacher and his wife, oh, my goodness, it was a terrible pastor for him, but he loved the community there. And a church was called, asked him to serve way off in another community. And the pastor and his wife's little girl was outside playing. Neighbor came by and says, well, has your dad made a decision yet? She said, well, Dad's upstairs in his study praying and Mom's packing. So, you know, the thing is, a lot of times, we should make the best out of it. We should make the best out of it in whatever it is. And no, nothing is ever the same. But, you know, the people of Nazareth were mistaken about Christ, but he forgave them. Can we not forgive others, too, for their premature judgments and mistakes? Now, I'm saying this securely in a pulpit, but in reality, can we? Because sometimes it's hard to, isn't it? It really is. Remember your childhood Sunday school faith and beliefs? Think back just for a second when you were in Sunday school as a child. Yes, it may have been simple. It may have been charming. If you have retained it, don't feel ashamed. Those Sunday school beliefs probably have gotten you through a lot of trials and tribulations that you have. Some people who want a more sophisticated faith may attempt to discard those childhood teachings about the Lord. I knew students, fellow seminarians in seminary, who came to seminary with that Sunday school faith, and guess what? They discarded it. And boy, did they regret it. Why? It destroyed their whole system. The house of cards came tumbling down. The train wrecked. And I know some to this day have never recovered their faith because they sold it, flushed it down the commode. You don't do that. You can't do that. And, you know, It's not necessary, but you know, for the instance, when you purchase new furniture and appliances, do you throw out your old furniture? A lot of, no. You're not going to throw away some antiques. You're going to keep those. It's just something that you've, this new furniture and the appliances and everything, you're adding to it. You're adding to it. And you know, it all blends in together eventually. So that is why our faith is enriched and well-grounded with the old and new. Yes, we may sing to God be the glory, but what's wrong with singing, Do Lord, of this little light of mine? Goes back a long way. But you know what? You have to reach back sometimes and pull it out. Because sometimes we need that childhood faith to keep us going, don't we? That's an important thing to keep in mind as we continue our faith journey through life. You know, our faith, again, is enriched and well-grounded in the old and the new. That is grace blossoming anew in our lives. And mistakes are permitted. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes in our lives, we forget that you're with us all the time, morning, noon, and night. We know that your arm isn't too short. We know that there's nothing too difficult for you to do. Help us, O Lord, when we are challenged in life. Help us, O Lord, that grant that we may know and understand what things that we ought to do and may have the grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. We give thanks, O Lord, for watching over us yesterday as well as today. We also give thanks that you will watch over us tomorrow. Protect us and give us all the faith that we need to survive. We thank you for our childhood Sunday school faith, and we thank you for the faith we have today. We thank you through the name of Christ who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.